want to do today is let the world go by.
Together, he couldn't be more right. I was praying about a certain message to preach today, and I kept asking the Lord this morning, what would he have me to preach? I had a certain message on my heart. I finished the outline last night, and I got in the car. Actually, I woke up this morning, and I looked at my phone, and I got on my Bible app, and the first thing that came up on the Bible app was a verse that went almost exactly with the message I'm preaching this morning. And then we get here this morning, and we get to a song called Be Strong in the Lord, and I love it. It talks about how the battle is the Lord's and the victory is His. And it continues to go on with the message that I'm planning to preach this morning. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I don't know if you've ever heard this story before. It's a wonderful story, and I love the fact that every story in the Word of God is true. It's not just a fairy tale. Matter of fact, it's not a fairy tale at all. It's absolute truth. And I want to hopefully I'll give you something that will be an encouragement to you this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to say thank you to Pastor. I know he's not here this morning, but thank you, church family, and the pastor for inviting me back. When Pastor invited me, I think he had asked me for another date, and it just didn't work out, but I'm glad it worked out for this time. And I always love being at Holly Hills. I was excited. I got to wish Landon a happy birthday. He had his birthday yesterday. And he said he got to go in the pool, and he got to have a whole bunch of fun playing games, and they said there was cake, so that's the best of it all, you know. But I love Holly Hills Baptist, and we're glad to be here this morning. Nathan is with me, and Hope and Hannah. Hope and Hannah are summer staffers this summer. They're actually heading out this Wednesday to go back home. Hope's going to Wisconsin. Hannah's going to Nevada. And then, of course, you guys know Nate as well. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you do me a favor and stand up with me for the reading of God's Word. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading this morning. And this might be kind of an unusual message. You may have never read this story in the Bible. A lot of people that have never read through the Bible entirely may not know of this story. I love it. It is such an encouragement to me, and it's kind of different, okay? So, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, let's read together. If you'll read in your heart, I'll read out loud. The Bible says, "It came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord." If you like marking things in your Bible, I would encourage you. I circled that. I highlighted it or underlined it. Jehoshaphat feared. Yes, it was a scary thing going on, but he set himself to seek the Lord. That was the first thing he did. "And proclaimed a fast throughout all the land," or all Judah. "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built there, and built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." I'm so glad every time we cry out to God, he always helps. Amen. He always hears. "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord. Can you imagine all America standing before God? Wow. "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, then the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he heard, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat." This is God's answer. I love it when God speaks up. "Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle," can you read this last phrase with me? "For the battle is not yours, but God's." Let's read that again. "For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruah. You shall not need to fight in this battle." Man, we try to fight so many times, and God just says, no, it's my battle. It's my battle. Just let me do it. "You shall not need to fight in this battle." And this is, I love that, those two words again. Set yourselves. In the beginning of the chapter says, he set himself to seek the Lord. Set yourselves. "Stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." I can't help but long that America would get to that point. I long for my church to get to that point. And he gets to the last couple of verses, verse number 19. "And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And the last verse I'm going to read for this morning until a little bit later. And when he had consulted with the people. Can you read the last part of this verse with me? He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are. What a gracious God you are. God, we need you. Lord, I pray that you'd help me at this time. I can't do this without you. Lord, I pray that you forgive me of all my pride and my selfishness. God, any sin that's between you and I. And Lord, I pray that we as a church would draw so much closer to thee and become more like your son Jesus today. May he be high and lifted up. And God, may you get all the glory for everything that's said, done, and thought today. May we learn so much from you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Take care. You must be talking about a battle today. I am going to talk about a battle, but that's not my focus. There's a great battle that's going on in this chapter. And actually, our last week of camp at the edge, it was our last teen week. We got to Monday morning, and I actually gave this as a devotional, but I didn't really dive into this one verse. I want to talk to you about a very specific thing this morning, okay? I want to talk to you about a singing choir. To carry, we don't do that. I don't know, that choir sounded really good. That sounded great. Remember, I love the song this morning. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What an awesome thought that is. It's not just a thought, it's a reality. Praise God for that. But this morning, I want to talk to you about a singing choir. The question this morning is, will you sing for the Lord? Will you sing for the Lord? If you look in verse number 21, the Bible says that we just read, and when Jehoshaphat, and when he had consulted with the people, he's just come out of this horrible experience. All the armies of Moab and of Ammon and the people of Mount Seir. He's got three different nations coming out against him and against the nation of Judah. And if you'll notice, at this time, this is actually the kingdoms of Judah and Israel are separate. This is the southern kingdom of Judah. You have the northern kingdom of Israel, which are not following the Lord really at all. And you got the southern kingdom of Judah, which they've got some good kings, and they've got a lot of bad kings as well. And you get to this point, and Jehoshaphat has just come out of a battle that he thought to himself, it's okay as long as I just, you know, I think the Lord would just give this to us. He had a prophet come in. He said, Ahab, why don't we listen to this, or at least hear from this prophet. He heard from the prophet. He didn't listen to the prophet. He went out and fought the battle. He lost the battle. And now he gets to this point. I just lost the battle. And now you're going to bring a whole other army against me. That's a pretty desperate situation. And he gets to this situation, and he's got three armies coming against him, and all Jehoshaphat can do. And wouldn't, man, I wonder if the Lord was just looking down and saying, Jehoshaphat, if you had just done this in the beginning, maybe we wouldn't have gotten to this point. But I also think to myself, maybe the Lord was saying, Jehoshaphat, I'm about to grow your faith more than you've ever been in your life. And I'm about to do something miraculous in your life. I'm going to give you the story before we get into the message. Okay, can we do that this morning? You have a nation of Judah who is not really equipped to fight against three nations that are coming at them at this time. These three nations are very big. They're very, very powerful. They're very mighty. And they come against Jehoshaphat and his army, his people. And Jehoshaphat doesn't know what to do. And so all he does do is set himself to seek the Lord. And what an awesome thing that is. May we as Holly Hills Baptist Church do that in our daily Christian walk. Starting out our days, I struggle with it just as much as you struggle with it. Getting up early in the morning, seeking God first. But he gets to this point, he can't do anything else but go to God. And when he gets to God, God steps in and does a mighty work. So this is what happens. You see, they're in a hard place. And then he gets to where he's praying before the Lord. He's got the congregation of Israel with him. And he's praising God. He's crying out to God. And the Lord speaks up. And he says, Jehoshaphat, you don't need to worry about this, basically. He says, you've already cried out to me. You don't need to fret for this. You don't need to worry about this. You don't need to take concern over this. Why? Because I am your God. This battle is not yours. It's mine. And I'm going to give you victory over this. And this is how God gives him victory. I love how God works. It's so unique. It goes beyond my expectation every single time. Sometimes I think, oh, God's just going to, he's going to do it this way. He's going to save this amount of kids. He's going to step in this way, this light. God is so much bigger than what we could ever think or imagine. And I'm so thankful for that. This is what God does. He has Jehoshaphat appoint singers. Look at verse number 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the what? Look at what the Word of God says. Verse 21. As they went out before the what?
Army.
Do you realize what's happening at this time? They've got three nations that are arrayed against them, about to attack them, and this is what Jehoshaphat does. He puts a choir out in front of his army. Now that's a little strange. That's a little bit weird. I don't know if I would do that. Especially, I don't want to be in the choir. I'm going to be standing on the front lines there. That's a little bit difficult, okay? I'm out there. I don't have a weapon. I don't have a shield. I don't have anything. I'm here just singing. And I'm on the front line. That's a little bit difficult. I would say that I would not want to be in that choir, okay? We have a hard enough time getting people in a choir in a church. Imagine how hard it would be to get people in that choir. Well, notice, Jehoshaphat didn't ask. He appointed. And he just said, you're going to be in this choir, you're going to be in this choir, you're going to be in this choir. And sometimes my dad, I love my dad, he says, instead of telling you or asking you to volunteer, he just says, do you love Jesus? Good, that's good, you're in this, all right. or you've been voluntold today. You know, that's sometimes we joke around about that, it's fun stuff. But he appoints them, and they are on the front line. And this choir is going forth. And this is something so miraculous. I'm going to get into the next part of the scripture in just a few minutes. But if you can get this picture this morning, I believe it'll help you in your Christian walk. Matter of fact, it's helped me so much. We got to the last week of camp, and the last week of camp is usually the hardest week. Why? Because everyone's tired. The Satan just fights hard and hard and hard because it's the biggest week of camp. Usually, matter of fact, we maxed out for the first time ever at the Edge for a summer camp week. It was amazing, but that just means more young people that need the Lord. We had a lot more inner city kids that came in this year. What does that do? I'm just being honest with you. It brings in lost people who do not know the good youth Christian ways that we all know, okay? You got your youth groups that come to camp, and they're all supposed to be good because that's just what they're supposed to do. These kids don't even know what that is. They're coming in, and you think to yourself, man, Carrie, why would we let those people get mixed together? And people have different opinions about that, but I believe what an impact that could have upon that young person. And what an impact that we could have on that young person for the glory of God by just simply sharing the gospel with them in an atmosphere that, yes, it's supposed to be Christian, although we got a lot of lost people here. And it's hard. Yes, you got some difficult times. Yes, we got people that are struggling with homosexuality. Yes, we had a young lady that came with two moms. Yes, I'm serious. That's what happened this summer. We had young person after young person after young person going through these hard, difficult times. We have people that were making racial comments. We have people that were doing all sorts of different things. You think to yourself, Carrie, why is that such a need? Why is the Edge such a need? And it is for that very reason that all those things happened. Because without us sharing the gospel, where are they going to have hope? Where are they going to have the peace that they need? It's only found in Jesus. And so I'm going to tell you this morning, this is such a powerful moment in history, a true story that takes place. They come before this army, or these three armies that are about to go against them. God says, I want you to get a choir in place. Jehoshaphat puts that choir in place. He says, I'm going to put you on the front line, no matter how awkward that feels. And I'm going to have you praise the beauty of holiness. Wow. Man. We're going to dive into that in just a second. And I'm going to deal with something that you could never imagine I could do. Would you look in verse number 21? I'm going to break down this verse. I was trying to go through the entire passage of Scripture. I was saying, Lord, I could just try to break this down. I don't have... Man, that would take me weeks to get through. There's so much in this passage of Scripture. But number one, I want you to notice... These singers were appointed. They were appointed unto the Lord. They were His to do whatever He wanted. Let me ask you this morning, whose are you? Whose are you? There have been choir members who have said they were His, but in reality they weren't at all. You understand what I'm saying this morning? You ever been in a church where you have someone that is in the choir, they don't really need to be in the choir because they're not saved in the first place? Have you ever been to a church where they have Sunday school teachers that are teaching Sunday school classes, but they really shouldn't be teaching Sunday school classes because they're not saved in the first place? You ever been to a church where they have special music singers that are singing up on the platform and they're singing about Jesus and yet they don't even know Jesus? You know, I believe there's a lot of people in churches today that live a fake Christianity. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings this morning, but I believe that could be in Holly Hills, and I hope it's not. But this may be a preventative kind of medicine for you this morning. Don't let yourself get that way. Remind yourself, before you ever get in that choir loft, are you right with Him? I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation this morning, but I know that there are so many people, there are Sunday school teachers, there's choir members, there's special music groups, there's plenty of folks in this church across the world, not just in Holly Hills. And I'm not saying that it could, it might be in Holly Hills, I'm not sure. I hope it's not. But I know there are churches all across America and across this world who have people that claim to be Christian and they're going through all the motions. They know how to do the rite. They know how to do the special music. They know how to play the piano, and yet they don't know Jesus. And they're living fake lives of Christianity. Whose are you? Are you the Lord's this morning? That's a very simple question, but are you the Lord's? I'd encourage you, if you're not saved today, just as our brother said earlier, man, this is your day. This is your day.
Amen.
The best day to get saved is today. Bible says today is the day of salvation. Bible says, and God said, Jesus said, I will have all men to be saved. I'm so glad God doesn't just pick out a few. He doesn't pick out just half. He doesn't just pick out certain ones. He picks everybody. And He gives everyone the opportunity to hear the gospel. Everyone has the opportunity to be saved. But it's up to you this morning. These singers were appointed. They were His to do whatever He wanted. Whose are you this morning? I remember we have a lady in our church. She's actually still there today. She's around, I'd say she's close to 85 probably. And her name is Miss Barbara Strickland. One of the sweetest ladies in our church. Every time I go up to her, I try to say hi to her. And the reason why I try to get close to that lady is because I know she's praying for me. I know she's praying for me. There's a few ladies in my church. They're in their 70s, 80s, close maybe 90s. And I know they're praying for me. And man, what a blessing that is. And I'm sure there's some folks in this church as well that do the same thing. And aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
I got super close to this lady in the past few years. But backing up, my dad preached a message probably about, I'd say, 6 or 7 years ago. And he talked about the Great White Throne Judgment. He preached a message that was on the Great White Throne Judgment Sunday morning. I believe it was anniversary Sunday at our church. And this lady, who, this is probably 6 or 7 years ago, so maybe 77, maybe close to 80, somewhere in there. She is in the back row. She's listening to this message. She's a Sunday school teacher. She has grown up in church most of her life. She helps out with secretarial duties. She helps out with cleaning the church. She helps out with anything and everything that she can physically do, even at her age. And yet, she realized that morning she was not saved. What courage that takes. Man. To be close to 80 years of age and to step down that aisle when my dad gave the invitation, I'll never forget it. What, man? Praise God, I wish, man, I want to have that same courage in my day-to-day walk with God. That lady stepped out in faith. She came down that aisle. She met her best friend. And that was another lady in the church. She was the secretary of the church in the church at that time, the former pastor's wife. And that my dad pulled her aside and said, can you go with Miss Barbara? She pulled her aside, went in the back room. Her best friend got to win her to Christ. And she's just gotten saved, almost 80 years of age. And you think to yourself, how could something like that happen? It's very easy to live a fake Christianity. I'm going to tell you, if you're on the front lines like that singing choir, you don't have time to live a fake Christianity. Let me ask you this morning, whose are you? Are you God's, or are you still this world's and Satan's? I hope that if you realize this morning, if you are still in the world, you aren't saved, I'd encourage you, get saved today.
Amen.
It's the best decision you can ever make in your life. Number one, they were appointed unto the Lord. You can go your whole life faking it and then end up in hell. Or you can truly follow Jesus and give Him your whole life, no matter the cost. And you will be persecuted for it, but living in the joy of the Lord forever. 2 Corinthians 4, 8-10 says, we are troubled on every side, this is Paul speaking, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Number one, they were appointed unto the Lord. They found that Jesus is worth serving. They found that He is. And I wonder, Holly Hills, this morning, is Jesus worth serving for you this morning? Is Jesus worth serving? Every day of my life, I want to get up and just praise God for the fact that I am saved and I have the greatest joy of serving Jesus. Sometimes I just don't feel like it. Number two, this is where I get into the feelings part. Number one, they were appointed unto the Lord. They were His to do whatever He wanted. Number two, they were to praise the beauty of holiness. I'm literally taking this verse apart. Look at verse number 21 again. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should, say this with me, praise the beauty of holiness. Let's try it again. Praise the beauty of holiness. Psalm 27:4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. How many of y'all heard this verse before? I'm sure you've heard this if you've been in church for any amount of time. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 90 verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. I love what A.W. Tozer wrote one time. He said, when I say that a man is a perfect singer, hope you'll like this. She's a wonderful musician, had a lot of experience with this. But when I say it, when a man is a perfect singer, I qualify that in my mind. I think, well, he does the best a person can possibly do. But when I say that God is holy, I do not qualify that. I mean it fully and completely. God is what He is, and that's it. God's power and being, His wisdom and knowledge, His holiness and goodness, His justice and mercy, His love and grace, all of these and more of the attributes of God are in shining, full, uncreated perfection. That blows my mind. Uncreated perfection. Wow. They are called the beauty of the Lord our God. And I'll read this verse again. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, as Moses said in Psalm 90, verse 17. And David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. The beauty of the Lord means that God has all He should have of everything, a fullness of everything. If it is love, then there is no limit to the love of God. If it is mercy, then there is no limit to the mercy of God. If it is grace, there are no bounds to the grace of God. If it is goodness, there is no limit to the goodness of God. And this is called the beauty of the Lord our God.
Amen.
Wow. When was the last time you spent an entire day just praising God for who He is and not ask Him a single thing? My dad likes to do this every year. My mom and dad do this in our home. Every week we get to Thanksgiving and we have a praising week, and we try not to ask God for anything unless it's a super important thing. I know God wants us to ask. He wants us to ask. Don't get me wrong on that. But sometimes it's good to just praise God and not ask Him for anything. Sometimes we come before God and we spend so much time saying, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. God, would You help me? And we never spend time praising Him for who He is. Is that you this morning? When's the last time you spent a whole day? When's the last time you maybe spent 1 hour just praising God for who He is? Maybe when's the last time you spent 5 minutes? That's all I'm saying. Maybe you spent 5 minutes just praising God for who He is. That's it. Maybe if we just did that, I wonder how our hearts would be transformed in our daily walk with Him. Maybe 5 minutes a day just praising God. Lord, You are holy. God, You are love. God, You are good. You are always good. Your character is unchangeable. You're always there for us. What do you do? Do you praise God in the mornings? Do you praise God during the day? Do you praise Him at night? Do you praise Him for your salvation? You know, a lot of times I'll go to churches and I'll say, we had so many kids get saved this past week at camp. Or we had a young lady get saved that that she had two moms, two lesbian moms. She got saved at camp this summer. That's a true thing. She got saved at camp this summer. And you know what I get most of the time? They get, amen. Sometimes all you get is a holy grunt. What a shame. What a shame. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices. And we can't say praise God? That's a shame. A young lady gets saved that's from a home of confusion like that. Praise God. Glory to God. You go to a camp, and this past, we had our biggest summer we've ever had at camp this summer. It's worth it just for one, but praise God, you get to see the fruit sometimes even more than others. We had 57 young people get saved this summer. Glory to God. Yes, and yes, you don't give that around the corner. God is good. He's always good. And you have every reason to rejoice in Him this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. Say, Carrie, what does this even have to do with a singing choir on the front lines going against armies? I'm getting there. Hold up, all right? We're almost there. But you need to learn, these singers had a job to do, and that was simply to just praise God. What are you doing this morning? Are you praising God? They were appointed because they were His. That was the first point. Number two, they were not just appointed, but they were to praise the beauty of holiness. Number three, they were to praise God even on the front line. Would you look at verses 15 and 17 with me? I think this is very, very good. I wrote this down. I'm afraid that I spend too much time trying to fight my own battles instead of just praising the beauty of holiness and letting God fight my battles for me. I wonder if that's you this morning as well. Verse number 15, the Bible says, "And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid." I love God almost every time He speaks up in the Word of God. He says, be not afraid. Almost every time He speaks up in the Word of God, and especially in the Old Testament, be not afraid. But even when He's coming to the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, He says, be not afraid. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. Verse number 17, the end of the verse says, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go actually the beginning of verse number 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Sometimes Jesus just wants you to, actually not just sometimes, all the time, Jesus wants you to step aside and let Him fight your battle for you. But it's hard. I'm the man. I got this. Lord, I can do this. I don't got this. I can't do this. I have a hard enough time just getting up in the morning and thanking the Lord for my salvation sometimes. God wants to fight your battles for you. You read that in the verses this morning. Are we fighting against principalities and against powers and against the darkness of this world? Talking about the armor of God. Why don't we have the armor of God? So that God can fight for us. So that God can do the work in and through you. I love that. Verse number three, they were to praise God even on the front line. Verse number 21, it says not just that they praised the beauty of holiness, but praise Him as they went out before the what? I said this earlier, before the what? The army. The army, they're in a hard place, they're in a hard circumstance, and sometimes you may not feel like praising God. I'd imagine these people don't feel like praising God. Especially on the front lines. Can you imagine if you had... Let's just make it practical. I pray that this doesn't happen, but you know, one day there will actually be a world war again. It's going to be happening in Revelation. It talks about it. But I want to give you a mental picture. What happened? What would happen? This is like having three nations. Maybe you have China. Maybe you have Germany again. Maybe you have Russia. Maybe you have all three of those nations coming against the United States. You say, Kerry, well, we're big enough to fight them. I don't know. Matter of fact, I'd say we probably aren't. I'd say we'd probably lose because we probably try to rely on ourselves instead of relying on God. I pray that doesn't happen. But maybe if that were to happen, this is like to give you a practical example, maybe a vision that you could see, is this is like three nations coming against the United States, and you think to yourself, these are three powerful nations. God, what am I going to do? I can't help but cry out to you. And God says, that's what I wanted you to do. Yeah. That's what I wanted you to do. That's all I wanted you to do. Notice what they did. When they cried out to God, they fell. You notice you'll never move forward if you go up. But when you fall down, God lifts you up.
Amen.
I love that quote. You move forward. A church needs to move forward on its knees. How much time do you spend on your knees praying to God? Number three, they were to praise God even on the front lines. Sometimes you may not feel like praising God in the circumstances that He has allowed you to be in, but we are to choose to praise Him anyway. Because even though we may not feel like praising Him, we must remember, I love this, even though we may not feel like praising God, we must remember that God doesn't have to feel like keeping us saved. But He does. See, it's not about feelings this morning, but it's about a choosing. It's about a decision that you have to make this morning. All because He chooses to love us no matter what. God never changes. It's us who continually change. God stays right where He's been, always been, and always will be. It's us that go over here. And I had a friend who used this illustration yesterday. He put his stand over here, and he said, this represents Christ, and then I'm going to be just me. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not saying that you're losing your salvation when I do this illustration, okay? None of us can lose our salvation. Praise God for that. But when this is just a simple illustration, help you understand that sometimes I don't feel like following the Lord. And sometimes I get kind of in my own direction. I want to go my own way. And so I decide I'm going to go over here. You know, maybe just one drink. Maybe just one smoke. Maybe just one look at that pornography. Maybe just one time hanging out with that bad friend. Maybe that bad influence. Maybe just one time. I'm just going to hang out here. Notice, He never moved. I moved. And a lot of times that's in our Christian walk. We say, I just don't feel like serving You today. I just don't feel like following You today. I just don't feel like glorifying You today. I'll be honest with you. I'm right there with you, church member. But God wants us to choose to do it anyway. Because when you choose, the feelings will come. What does that mean, Kerry? We have a guy that came to our church a while back. And I'm almost done. Please stay with me. I'm almost done. We had a guy that came to our church a while back. And he was going through some hard things. He grew up in a Christian home, or so it seemed. And his mom and dad got a divorce. He's in his 20s. And he thought to himself, I didn't understand it. My mom just left us. And I couldn't believe it. Why would she do that? He became bitter. Matter of fact, so bitter that he got into rock music, heavy metal rock music. He started cussing up a storm at work and different things. And he started getting in with the wrong crowds. And you know what? I still pray for him today. I pray that maybe God somehow, God got a hold of his heart and he's turned to Him. But he would come to our church every now and then. Finally, we said, I wanted to take him out to lunch. And he said, Kerry, would you help me? He actually asked for help. I was so thankful for that. He said, Kerry, I'm struggling. I just don't want to forgive my mom. I just don't want to. I don't feel like it. I just don't feel like I can forgive her. And I tried to encourage him, tried to help him. It went on from there. He still struggled with it. I went on an Edge to Go trip all the way to Indiana, then to Kentucky. And on my way back from Kentucky, I called him and I wanted to check up on him. He had gone to my church that night for Sunday evening service. We were traveling back, so I wasn't there. So I wanted to check up on him, see how he was doing. And he said, Kerry, I was talking to your dad, the pastor of the church, and I was talking to him, and your dad sat me down. And my dad had already gone over this with him before, but he went through it again. It was like it just clicked finally. My dad looked at him and he says, I'm not going to give you his name this morning. We'll just say a random name, maybe Joseph. I don't know if there's any Josephs in here this morning. But for sake of illustration, we'll call him Joseph. My dad looked at Joseph and he said, Joseph, you keep saying you don't feel like forgiving your mom. You're not going to feel like it. You need to choose to forgive her and the feelings will come later.
Amen.
And you know what? He chose to forgive her that night. He said, Kerry, I got home and I just spent time on my bed. I looked at the wall for like an hour. And I finally gave it to God. And I finally chose to forgive. And you know what? After that, I started feeling like it. You know, sometimes you may not feel like serving the Lord. Sometimes you get in a singing choir instance, maybe, where you're on the front lines going against three different armies. I don't know if you've ever been there. I'd love to talk to you after service because I would love to hear about that story. But You might get in that position where you're in a hard place at work. Maybe you're in a hard place at school. Maybe you're being bullied, whatever. I don't know. Maybe you're having a hard time at home. But man, remember this. Your God is still worth serving. And even though you may not feel like getting close to Him, it is our job to choose to get close to Him. And God will give you the feelings later on.
Amen.
God will give you the desire. He doesn't want you to just feel like you have to. He wants you to want to. He wants you to love Him. That's why God didn't create us to be robots. God created us to be human beings so that we would love Him. I'm almost done. This is the last part. They went back to Him. Are there some battles in your life right now that you need to just stop praying about? And you say, well, Carrie, hold up. What do you mean stop praying about? Are there some battles in your life right now that you just need to stop praying about and instead start putting into action the words that you have been praying for so long? Maybe there's a battle that you are facing where you need to simply praise the Lord and get your focus on Christ while allowing Him to fight your battles for you. Sometimes I feel like we pray so much about some specific, God, give me victory over this. God, give me victory over this. I know God wants you to do that. Yes, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But sometimes we pray about it so much that we never do anything about it. And I know this is not meant to be a harsh message this morning, but I want to encourage you with this. God wants you to be a people of action that praises Him and lets Him act upon His promises. Amen. Number one, they were appointed. Number two, they were to praise the beauty of holiness. Number three, they were not only to praise the beauty of holiness, but also even they were to praise God even on the front line. And number four, the why of it all. Why would they do that, Carrie? His mercy endureth forever. This is the wonder of it all. I'm gonna read through this and we're gonna be done, okay? I love this passage of scripture, but this is the best part of it. Look at verse number 22 with me. After he appointed the singers that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the Lord, the army, and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Verse number 22. And when they began to sing to praise the Lord, to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. Woo, man. You got two armies or three armies that are about to come against the nation of Judah, and all of a sudden, they don't even go against the nation of Judah. They start turning on each other. They start setting ambushments on each other. And you get to verse number 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped. This is crazy. This is just insane. I don't even understand this. I would have loved to have been there and saw this. This would have been incredible to me. Everyone helped to destroy another. You talk about confusion? Man, I just wonder, maybe God got two people mad and it just exploded. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But the Bible does say that every one of them helped to destroy another. And when Judah, verse 24, came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked under the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. What a great God. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. They went back to praising God. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with what? What does the Bible say? With joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with the psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. And the last verse I'm going to speak about this morning. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Now that's my God.
Amen.
And that's your God. Last point, number four, the why of it all. His mercy endures forever. I wonder where they got that from. They went back to the promises of God. There are many times that we are or will be in bad circumstances, just as these people were. There are many times that we will not feel like praising God, as we talked about before. There are going to be many places that we will not feel very comfortable to praise the Lord in. And yet we know this one thing, that God's mercy endures forever.
And you know, these people didn't have a lot to go off of, it so it seemed, but they sure had a great God to go off of.
Amen.
And He's more than we could ever imagine. I love that verse. He says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Go back to the promises of God in your life, church member. Go back to the promises of God in your life, Christian, and simply rely on the Bible promises that He has given to you. Some of you may have been praying for a lost loved one to get saved for years. I can tell you story after story after story of people in my life in the past year who have gotten saved. My sister-in-law, we prayed for her 2 years in a row. She got saved right after VBS last year. There's a man in our church. He was praying for his brother to get saved for years. I don't even know, maybe 20 years. I'm not sure. And literally calls me crying on the phone in November. I think it was October last year, saying, "Carrie, my brother just got gloriously saved. Now he wants his whole family to get saved. Don't give up, because your God is still on the throne."
Amen.
And He is still able. Sing to Jesus this morning. Remind yourself this morning. Sing to the Lord of His wonderful mercy in your life, and remind Him in a reverential way that that His will is clearly shown in His Word when it says, "I will have all men to be saved." I'm going to read this. Close my Bible. There's hope. All right? I'll read this. Hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. Would you sing to Jesus this morning? Would you sing to Jesus this morning? This week. The next week. You may have some hard times at work, but would you sing to Jesus? We got in that week of camp. I told all of our summer staff, I said, "We're going to have some hard times." And you know what? We did. But I said, let's just keep singing. Let's just keep praising God. Let's just keep our focus on Him. Sing to Jesus when it gets rough. Sing to Jesus even when you don't feel like it. Sing to Jesus even if it's bad circumstances. Sing to Jesus even if you're off key. Sing to Jesus even if you don't necessarily like to sing, because you're going to sing one day. If you're a Christian here this morning, praise Him because He never changes. Praise Him because He never fails. He never gives up. He's always there. He is always holy, holy, holy. He is always King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He is faithful. He is supreme. He is my mediator. He is almighty. He is the King of glory. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the blessed and only potentate, the bread of life, the water of life, the day spring, the Lamb of God, the great high priest, the King of the ages, the King of the Jews. He is the Holy One of Israel. And you can go on and on. He is the horn of my salvation. He is the Son of the Highest. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Counselor. He's my best friend. He is the Leader and Commander. He is my Shepherd, my Savior, my Redeemer. Praise God. The Just One, my Righteousness, the Living Word of God, the Governor, the Resurrection and the Life. He is Jehovah God. He is my Lawgiver, my Creator, the Life, the Truth, the Way. His name is Jesus this morning, and that is your God.
Amen.
Are you going to sing to Him this week? I'm not trying to give you some motivational speech this morning. I'm not downing what you have going on in your life. But I tell you, we have a great God who is above that.
Amen.
And you have so much to be thankful for this morning. So will you join me in becoming a part of a singing choir of Jesus Christ? Will you sing to Him and allow Him to have full control of the battles in your life, so that He may fight for you and give you the victories that you need in Him? Would you bow with me? You may be going through some hard times this morning, but I hope this is an encouragement to you. You have a wonderful Savior. You have a wonderful God who loves you so much. And He cares for you, and He gave His life for you. And His name is Jesus. And if you've never met Jesus personally, today is your day. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you've never realized in your life that I am a sinner, and because of my sin, because I've done bad things, because I deserve, because I have sinned, I deserve to go to hell. And I know that I deserve to die and be separated from God forever. But Carrie, I realized this morning that Jesus, He loved me so much that He came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and He died on the cross for my sins, and He was buried, and He rose again for me,
so that I could have a relationship with Him. If that's you this morning, you say, Carrie, I have never placed my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ alone. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. It's between you and God. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, and you never put your faith completely in Him, it's one thing to know about Jesus, it's another thing to actually place your faith in Jesus. And if you've never done that this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Say, Carrie, I don't know for sure that I am on my way to heaven, but I would sure like to know. Would you just pray for me, Carrie? If that's you, would you simply raise your hand this morning? Raise it nice and high. I see that hand in the back. Yes. Anyone else? You say, Carrie, I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven, but I would sure like to know. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Anyone else? I'm looking around. Raise it nice and high. Say, Carrie, I need to be saved. I don't want to live a fake Christianity anymore. I am sick and tired of living the fake Christian life. I want to live as Jesus would have me to live. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? If you just raise your hand, I want to pray for you this morning. My prayer is not going to get you to heaven. But I would like to tell you, Jesus loves you so much. He died for you and He gave His life for you. And all you have to do is simply do what His Word says. The Bible says, number one, I need to realize that we are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all deserve to die and go to hell. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Because I've sinned, I deserve to die. I deserve to be separated from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If that's you, you say, Carrie, I would love to be saved this morning. And you just raised your hand. There was one that already raised their hand. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want to. You just do this, what the Word of God tells you. You realize, number one, I'm a sinner. Number two, I realize that because of my sin, I deserve to go to hell. Number three, I realize Jesus took that punishment for me. He died on the cross for me. And number four, all I need to do is call on Him to save me. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved this morning, would you just simply pray in your heart? I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. This prayer is not going to get you to heaven at all. But maybe you're wondering, I don't know what to pray, Carrie. You can pray something like this in your heart as I pray out loud. These words are not going to get you to heaven, but it's simply you putting your faith in Christ, you relying upon Jesus alone to get you to heaven. You might say something like this, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to die and go to hell because of my sin. But I also know that your son Jesus came to die on that cross for me and to be buried and rise again from the dead. For me, and you took my sin upon yourself so that I could have a relationship with you. Lord Jesus, would you please forgive me of all of my sin and come into my life and save me? Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In your name I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you one more question this morning. I know that service run a little bit longer than normal, but I believe God has been leading this morning. Say, Carrie, I'm a Christian here this morning. I'm struggling. I know I'm saved, but I'm really struggling with some certain things. Would you just pray for me, Carrie? I need to sing more. I need to just get a hymnal. Maybe you need to buy a hymnal online ask your pastor for a hymnal from the church. Take home with you. And when you go to have your devotions in the morning, you need to just get that hymnal out. Start singing through that hymnal as well as reading through the scriptures. Maybe you say, Carrie, I need to sing more. I need to sing and praise God more. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? My hand's high and lifted up as well. I see several hands across the auditorium. Thank you so much. You can put those hands down. Let's ask God to help us this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to start playing. I'm going to give you a time. If you want to come and just spend some time at the altar this morning, you can come to this altar. It's wide open. Or you can pray in your seat, make an altar out of your seat, and just simply ask God to help you where you're at. I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning. But with altars open, you can come at this time. Matter of fact, would you stand up together, please?